trying on Sunday evening to get some practical living lessons. This one talks about discouragement and some other things in life, and this one's on patience. So be patient. I know you're already looking at the outline thing, and that's a full page of notes. But be patient. We'll get through it. And we've all heard the classic prayer, "Lord, give me patience right now." It seems like that never goes out of style. That's just so appropriate. Give me patience right now. We can't wait. But really doesn't work that way. When Jesus tells the parable of the soils, when he gets to the good ground, he says, but that on the good ground are they, in Luke 8, verse 15, which in an honest and good heart, having, here it is, heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So there's all those prerequisites. Before you get patience, you have to hear the word and spend some time keeping it, and then you get the patience. In Romans 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. So yes, I want patience, but many times you have to have the tribulation first. And so, wow. James 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, the trying of your faith. Oh, I don't want to have to do that. But yes, but after patience has been, after faith has been tried, then we get the patience. I heard one person say, patience is the Spirit's slowest growing fruit, but it tastes sweet. The fruit of the Spirit, patience. It means to bear a burden or trial. If you have patience, it means you put up with things. You put up with struggles or trials or hardships. You have to bear when you think about patience. Means you have to bide your time while circumstances play out. Some things just don't have a quick fix, so we have to have patience. And endurance is another word for patience. Or steadfastness, long suffering, forbearance. And also, I think when you think about patience, it includes an attitude of cheerful hopefulness. It rules out sighing. When you're patient, you don't just, No, patience has an attitude of cheerful hopefulness that things will get better, that there'll be a positive outcome. So virtue, many times, that's by design, is to slow us down. Patience. So I put some things in your notes. Can you follow along with me about patience, how to be patient or when to be patient? So number one, patience. So think before you blow up at difficult people. You know any difficult people? Don't point. don't point. Patience is the lesson tonight. Patience. You know, how do you feel when the driver in front of you is slow to move and the light turns green? Well, we want to get on our horn. You know, I heard of a story of one man's blood pressure was high and his patience was low when the car in front of him was stalled in traffic. And the lady who was in the car, she couldn't get it started. And the longer that she couldn't get the car started, the more frustrated she became holding up the traffic. And the man who was behind her, instead of going around her, added to her distress by just honking on the horn. So a few more attempts to start the car, and she got out and walked back to the man who was honking the horn. And she said, I'll tell you what, you go start my car, and I'll sit here and honk the horn for you. Patience. The blow-up Christian, the one that lacks the patience, is going to have trouble with relationships. It's going to be hard to please. He's going to be the one that doesn't roll with the punches, lacks patience. He doesn't have a plan B. Seems like everybody's out of step but him. He just lacks patience. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit than he that takes the city. Patience. Remember another story about a man in a supermarket. people were paying a lot of attention to him because he was pushing a cart that held a screaming child. The man kept talking rather softly, saying, "Don't get excited, Johnny. Johnny, don't scream. Johnny, don't get upset. Johnny, keep calm." So a woman who was nearby heard him saying all those things, and she walked over to him and says, "You know, sir, you're to be commended for trying to soothe your little son, Johnny." The man says, "Lady, I'm Johnny." That's the way we have to get. You have to talk to ourselves. So the Bible says, you know, we need to be long-suffering. That's the opposite of being short-tempered. Real quick. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before Moses, proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. It's a characteristic or an attitude of God. Long-suffering. He's long-suffering with us. Same thing in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. You know, some men count slackness. But He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering. Another verse I put in your notes, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We exhort you, brethren. So here's the admonishment to us, just like the lesson tonight. We exhort you. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I suppose when we come across the unruly, the faint-hearted, and the weak, they require patience on our part in our ministry to them. There's another story of a kindergarten teacher. Like me, when I'm studying, it doesn't matter, don't have to be kindergarten. But anytime you're a teacher, you dread rainy days. Students have to stay in many cases. So when this kindergarten teacher had the rainy days, it meant 22 pairs of galoshes, you know, those rubber boots, had to be put on the students. So three times on one day, she helped her little ones put their overshoes on. At the day's end, she kind of got to the final student, gave that final tug, and then little Johnny says, "These aren't mine." She just about had it, and she counts to 10 and begins pulling the galoshes off little Johnny. And he watches in silence, and then when she's finished, little Johnny said, "They're my sister's, but my mom said I had to wear them today." patience is what it takes. So Proverbs 14:29, "He that's slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly." So don't blow up, because it may take a long time to find all the pieces. Number two, patience. So we want to think before you slow up in the Christian race. That's for all of us too. One, in one area, we are patiently waiting for the Lord's coming. He hasn't come yet. We have that promise. An assurance of His coming, but hasn't happened yet. You also, Jesus admonished in Mark 13, verse 13, "He that shall endure to the end." Endurance, that was one of our definitions of patience. Endurance to the end, the same shall be saved. So there's an attitude of life that you and I need to develop in patience and waiting for the Lord's return that says we have to hang in there. We don't want to give up. We need steady progress. We need to make sure we get to the finish line. Because those that don't finish the race don't win the prize. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The patient waiting. See, some things, as you know, just take time. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." You think of how long it takes for that newborn babe to grow, to reach those milestones, months and then years. You know, they measure certain things over the course of time. same thing with us. So think before you slow up in the Christian race. Keep attending the Bible classes, the worship assemblies, the individual studies. Patience, patience. Number three, patience. Think, so think before you let up during an adversity. We all have hardships. We've mentioned that on a few Sunday nights. There's always going to be difficulties in life. So be patient. Think before you let up during an adversity. Seems like when everything goes along as a song and the sun is shining and the flowers are in bloom and the birds are singing, oh, it's easy to be patient. Easy. But this particular point in the lesson is that what's going to happen to you and me when things go wrong? When the proverbial cart is upset, when there's that hardship in life or something happens we can't explain, and we ought to get that why me out of us. Why me? And why now? Right. Well, I see about many tragedies across our nation, especially disasters. I always wonder, what are these people going to do? And then I have that moment of thought. I said, I wonder what I would do if that happened to me. What if my house was destroyed by fire or storm or some other thing? What would I do? So think before you let up during adversity. James 5:11 says, you've heard of the patience of Job. Sure have. Hebrews 12, verse 1, let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, let's look to Him. Some tragic times, hardship times in His life. But He kept on. Yes, I have to go to Jerusalem. And I know what's going to happen to me when I get there. Ah, patience. Patience. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The one message I get from that is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was not a Texan. Because I've never known a Texan be content in any other state but Texas. All the people from Texas that I know can't wait to go back. So, but Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Number four, think before you break up a troubled home. Patience. Patience. You know, I do a marriage ceremony. Part of the introduction or part of the comments that I make to the couple that's getting married, I explain to them, and I'll use the phrase, you know, it's a unique experience when two people from different families, backgrounds, and places can meet, develop a friendship, and discover a love for one another in which they desire to spend the remainder of their life together as husband and wife. Did you get the first part of that? Two people from different places, different backgrounds, different upbringings, now are brought together. You think they might need some patience? Anytime people get together, decisions have to be made. You're going to need some patience. I think of our business meetings, you know, that we have once a month. Here we have men from who've been brought up in different places and backgrounds. Now we're brought together in fellowship here as a congregation. And then we go back to a room or an area back there, and then we begin to make our discussions. And there are decisions that have to be made. And we need to be patient. And we have been. I don't mean to say this as a scenario of hurt or something that's going on, but just simply saying, when we have people from different backgrounds and places, and we have to get together, it'll require patience. Patience. Number five, think before you pass up an opportunity God has given. Think, first of all, an opportunity for to obey the gospel. Now, don't be too quick to let that opportunity pass by. know, if you're not a Christian, you know, there's always that danger of delay. And that danger of delay, the danger reveals itself in two ways. Because if you delay, you may either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. If you have that desire right now and you don't act upon it, the day may come when you still have the opportunity, but you don't have the desire. Or the day may come when you lose the opportunity because you're not alive anymore. So the danger of delay, even this opportunity that God has given you to obey the gospel, there's a danger in delay. Either lose your desire or lose your opportunity. You can hear the sermon, you hear the Bible classes over and over and over again. But I remember back then, last year, 10 years ago, oh, I was ready to obey and I didn't do it. You'll hear the lessons, you've heard the pleadings, the prayers. I don't have the desire anymore. You have the opportunity. But not the desire. And then one day you may lose the opportunity. Second, God will open doors of opportunity for churches and church workers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. So we need to pray, God, open my eyes so that we can see the opportunities that are placed before us. You'll open my eyes. Number six, we need to have patience and think before you puff up at the prosperity of the wicked. I'll just read these verses in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verses 1 through 3, and I noted them in these verses in your notes. Psalmist says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In verse 12, the wicked plot against the just, gnash upon them with their teeth. The Lord shall laugh at them, for he sees that his day is coming. Patience. Verse 37, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So think before we get puffed up at the prosperity of the wicked. Look at them. Seem like good things are happening, and here I'm trying to be on the Lord's side, and I have grief. But God, as the verse is saying, doesn't settle every account at the close of the month. There will be a judgment day. The last one I have, number seven. Think before you give up on a lost person. We want to imitate the long suffering of God and give people time to repent. And we, in this congregation, have baptized people who were older than what typically is the age that people obey the gospel. Some of these people have heard the gospel for years and years. I always think of Freda Elliott, you know, and her husband Wilson. In all those years of Freda being a member of the church, staunch and strong and steadfast, and Wilson was not. Then his Wilson became about a little over 60 or 65 years of age, and then closing in poor health and started coming. And then Wilson was baptized. Remember Steve Heslop, who visited us from the Phoenix area, the Heslop family. And here Christy and her family, longtime members of the Lord's church. And she married Steve, and Steve had for decades had heard lesson after lesson, and comes over here. And it wasn't very long till all of a sudden he came forward. And of course, the people over in Phoenix said, what's wrong with the water in Phoenix? Can't be baptized there as your home congregation. Think of Louis Tagbon. Think of Don, 6.5 years ago. You think Bobby hasn't told him over the years? And this stubborn old man. Wait till he's in his mid-60s. Well, I'm not supposed to tell how old you are. About 6 years ago, you had the 60s, the 6 and the 60s. But think before you give up on a lost person. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning of verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. That's right. Some things we said just take time. We'll never, never, never give up. Especially on a lost person. Just don't do that. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, you have need of patience. And that's what the lesson is this evening. We have need of patience. You think about your own situation. Where patience is needed. And again, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Not a member of the New Testament church. You know, don't give up. Don't pass up an opportunity that God has given. And that's what this is, an opportunity to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins. Right now, this opportunity. You're here and need to ask brethren for strength or encouragement. You just want to say, brethren, pray for me, pray with me. Whether it be forgiveness or help in time of need. Just want to share out. We can do that. We'll honor that request. Well, let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.